Hey guys, happy Mother's Day. I've been looking up funny jokes on the internet these days, and I've found some pretty good ones. Before today's story, I'm gonna share some with you all. Two windmills are chatting. One asks the other, "What's your favorite kind of music?" The other replies, "I'm a big metal fan." Get it? 'Cause it's literally a big metal fan, it's a windmill. Okay, here's a short one. Three fish are in a tank. One asks the other, "How do you drive this thing?" Why can't a nose be 12 inches long? Because then it'd be a foot. I mean, if your nose is 12 inches long, you might get this a lot. What is on your face? If you're looking for a savage joke to tell your friends, this one is perfect for you. Why did the chicken cross the road? Most people would say to get to the other side, right? But in this joke, the answer is to get to the idiot's house. Don't get it? Never mind. Let's move on to the next one. Knock knock. Who's there? The chicken. From the other joke? But if your friend is a sensitive one, think twice before telling them this joke. Dumbarton by Ginger Juan. Chapter 5. A few days passed. I was getting used to my new life. George hadn't spoken to me in days, though, and I didn't know why. I mean, me getting into a fight really wasn't such a big deal. Perhaps he had never had a child before, so he didn't know how to deal with one. After all, he was always alone. Whenever we actually saw each other in the house, he just ignored me and kept on doing whatever he was doing. It was not a nice thing to do for a parent. I had wanted to ask him to talk about it, but I hadn't worked up the nerve yet. Saturday was coming soon, and I wondered if we would go out together like we did last week. These days, the only times I had fun was with Caroline at school and when I invited to her house, and at night on the rooftop of Orange Star Orphanage with Monica. I had been making new friends at school, and I realized it was true that not all rich kids are snobby. However, some of them were. At school, my grades had never been better, and Jessica had been out of my way for a while, which is good. I didn't want to get into a fight with her again and make things worse than they already were. In physical education, our coach told us to run a few laps around the tracks. His name was Mr. Old. It was a rare last name, and he said he was often laughed at for it. He was also the school's handyman. Mr. Old had white hair streaked with gray, and his face was covered with wrinkles, but his athletic skills were just as good as when he was young. He was one of the only teachers that I found amiable in the whole school of spectacular. The color of his whistle he carried around was faded, and his shirts were always stained. He was a nice guy, an exceptional PE teacher. It was the first time we had done actual sports. The last few days it had been hours and hours of boring lectures about the sports history and rules. But today wasn't any better. Mr. Old timed us with his stopwatch one by one, and the rest of us was just sitting around and doing nothing. He told us that this would take up at least 10% of our physical education grades. The boys went first, and this girl sat on the bench and watched them. When the first boy finished, he was sweaty and out of breath. Mr. Old announced that his time was 3:08. I laughed. He was slow. "That's pretty normal for your age," Mr. Old complimented. I couldn't tell if he was being sarcastic. The next boy went up. His score was even worse than the first one. I couldn't believe my eyes. After all the boys in my class had finished, the best score was 2:54. "Very good, Anthony," Mr. Old said. "You're very fast for your age." I turned to face Carolina. "I cannot believe this." "Yeah, Anthony's so fast," Carolina replied. I stared at her like she was crazy. "Seriously, though?" I cried. "He's not fast. In fact, he's very slow. I can easily break his record." Carolina snickered. "No offense, but I doubt it." I frowned. Was everyone here so bad at sports that they didn't realize how slow they were because everyone else was just as slow? Jessica volunteered to go first. The coach agreed, and I could see she thought she was great at sports. The proud and irritating look on her face said it all. She started running, her hair flying in the air behind her. Beads of sweat formed on her forehead, but the haughty look on her face remained there. "Jessica, 253, the coach exclaimed. 1 second faster than Anthony. The girl was crazy with joy. She was shrieking and screaming and hugging her minions, who congratulated her in an over-enthusiastic way. A smug smile spread across my face. Soon that big, ugly grin would be wiped away, and her pride wouldn't last long. I knew I could break her record easily. "Who wants to go next?" the coach asked, reading the list of names. I stood up and raised my hand high above my head. "I do." The coach took a look at me, as if not recognizing me. Then he finally found my name on the list and told me to get onto the track. I did, and started doing some quick warm-ups, though we had already done them. "I'm going to rub that look off her face. I'm going to." I stepped into my running position. "Ready, set, go," announced the coach, and he pressed a button on his stopwatch. I moved my limbs as quickly as I could. Everything around me was a blur as I sped past them. The wind in my face was remarkable, and I felt a rush of energy in my body. I realized that I had already run 2 laps around the track. Still 2 laps left, but suddenly I saw something moving in the bushes. Not something, someone, a person. I slowed down to see clearly. The bushes rustled and the person hid behind it. I decided to see what that person was doing after I finished running and saw Jessica and her disappointed face. I sprinted the rest of the way and stopped right where I began. Mr. Old's mouth dropped open. He stared at his stopwatch, then at me, at his stopwatch, then at me. 103, he uttered. That's, Carolina squealed excitedly and put her arms around my neck. "That's what I'm talking about," she cheered. Everyone else applauded for me, except for Jessica and her minions. The rest of the girls took turns running around the track. Carolina got a pretty good score. Not as good as mine, of course. The period ended, and the coach pulled me aside to talk. "Your score was remarkable. Impossible, even." I tilted my head to one side. "How so?" Mr. Old looked around to make sure nobody was listening. Children were streaming out from the school building and out onto the playground. The coach put his eyes back on me. "Your score broke the middle school record," he whispered like it was a secret. "Nobody had ever gone this fast. In fact, nobody in middle school had even gone faster than 2 minutes. You won by a lot. I think you're somehow different. Special." My head was spinning. Mr. Old was telling me that I was like an exceptional athlete, that I was special. It was exactly what Mr. Keller had written about me on his clipboard. Mr. Keller's handwriting appeared in my head, and I shuddered. Mr. Old nodded and motioned for me to go back to my friends. I gave him one last glance and rushed toward the monkey bars, where Carolina and some other kids were. "What did he say?" asked Carolina. I shrugged. "Just congratulated me for getting a perfect score." I wasn't really sure why I lied, but when this became something remarkably complicated, Carolina would surely find out soon enough. George didn't answer any of my calls today after school. I was beginning to worry, but Carolina told me she could walk me home. "My house is not far away," she declared. So we walked home together. We reached Carolina's house and I walked the last 800 meters alone. The villa rose behind the bushes, the lush trees, and I went through the gate into the front garden. George was sitting in the gazebo he put together days earlier on the side of the garden, his back to me. I was going to go up to him and question why he didn't answer my calls, but I remembered that we weren't talking, so I started up to the front door. "I'm sure now," I turned around. George hadn't moved from the gazebo, but I was sure that was his voice. I guessed we were talking after all. "Sure of what?" I asked casually, as if us talking after all these days was normal. I didn't want him to hold this grudge anymore. George turned around in his gazebo. His eyes burned into mine. "You are special, Avery. You're very special," he said, his voice almost a whisper. He waved his hand and told me to come. I entered the gazebo and sat down across from him. Again? When was the special phase ever going to end? "Avery, they told me you were special from day one. They said you have extraordinary powers, and that you were different from all of us, but I didn't believe them until now." I laughed, but after a second I realized George was being serious. "What do you mean I have powers?" I asked in a shaky voice. My stomach was tied into a tight knot which I felt would never be loosened. "And who are the they you're talking about?" George leaned closer to me. "The childcare agency, Avery. The Kellers," he explained in a creepy way that made me more uneasy than I already was. "Have you noticed your tremendous speed and strength? How you could beat up that Jessica girl effortlessly and jump down a two-story building without getting hurt? They're your powers. More powers may be on the way with a little training." I paused. "Are you saying I'm, like, an alien?" George shrugged and nodded slightly. "Well, you're definitely not from Earth." "Then where am I from?" He shrugged again. "I'm not sure yet. They say you're from somewhere called the planet Dumbarton?" I gulped. The tight knot in my stomach was pulled tighter. The image of the sea monster Monica was talking about appeared in my head. The image of it attacking the passengers on the boat. How it roared in triumph as the boat tossed and turned and almost toppled over in the middle of the churning ocean water. His menacing eyes glistened in the dark. I was the same as him. I was the same as the enmity. I was a monster. George snapped his fingers and waved in front of my face to make sure I was still there. I had gotten caught up in my thoughts for a second. "I know this is hard to take in, Avery, but we can face it together. I can help you," he assured. "It's the reason I took you in, to help you, to give you a normal life that you deserve." My eyes watered. I couldn't help it. "But how do you expect me to have a normal life after you told me I'm a monster?" I cried. George sighed. "You're not a monster, Avery. You're just different. And we're all different from one another, right?" I wiped my tears away with the back of my hand, sniffling and straightening my school uniform. Something doesn't add up. Back at the Orange Star Orphanage, my friend Monica used to tell all kinds of adventurous stories, and the last one I heard was about this monster called the Enmity, an alien from the planet Dumbarton. He was a sea monster who lived in the Pacific Ocean, and in the story, he attacked some passengers on a boat. If I really am one from the same planet as him, then why don't I look like a hideous sea monster? It was confusing. Just like humans did, Dumbartons have evolved from hideous sea monsters to a point where they looked almost exactly like human beings, he explained. The stories your friend was telling could be written back when the evolution hadn't started yet. Now, I can't promise you that there are no other ancient Dumbartons on Earth, because everything has exceptions. So perhaps the sea monster does still live in the Pacific Ocean. We never know. But at least one good thing occurred after this upsetting conversation. I was informed that I came from the same planet as a hideous sea monster. But at least George and I were talking again, and that villa belonging to a famous billionaire finally felt like home. "Are you ready?" asked George. "For what?" I crouched down next to him, where he was sewing something that looked like a sack. "Training," he declared. The opening in the sack was sewn close, and George kicked it with all his might. It didn't budge. The sack was full and it looked very heavy. He sighed in satisfaction. "Perfect." I asked him what the sack was for, and he pointed at the stone statue standing in the middle of the enormous garden surrounding the house. "Lift the sack, Avery. Lift it and throw it against the stone statue. Your mission is to destroy that statue." "Do you hate that person?" I asked. George stared at the sculpture. It was a figure of a man with a mustache, a little hat sitting on his head. He looked like a duke from the Netherlands in the 1900s. How in the world would George know someone from the 1900s? George laughed. "No, but I'd like you to destroy it. You need to train. They say aside from a lot of practice, stress or fear can accelerate the coming of your new powers." I scoffed and took hold of the sack. "I can do this easily. Lifting a sack is no problem for me." My fingers wrapped around the sack and I grunted. It was surprisingly heavy. I pulled hard and the sack lifted off the ground. What did George put inside? I held my breath until my face turned red, and I heaved the sack at the stone statue a few feet away. It smashed into smithereens and crumpled to the grass. George, who was standing far away, clapped his hands in applause. "Splendid, Avery. For your first time, that was wonderful." We trained for another hour, then we had dinner. We watched a movie in the living room and went to bed. The next day was the same morning routine. I got up and dressed, had breakfast, and waited in the garage for George to drive me to school. But there was only 10 minutes left until school started, and George hadn't shown up yet. I had no idea where he was, and I was almost late. There was no way I would arrive at school on time. The principal warned me that there would be terrible consequences if I were late, so I ran. I ran all the way from the villa to my school. It was a 5-minute drive, but I reached the school in only 10 minutes. The bell rang the second I stepped into the building. I had never run so far at full speed before, so I was exhausted. My heartbeat wouldn't slow down, and my throat was dry as cotton. The back of my uniform was drenched and very much noticeable. I pulled my hair into a ponytail so my body temperature could cool down. I dried my sweaty forehead and speed walked to class since the teachers would yell at us for running in the hallway. First period was chemistry. To my dismay, Jessica sat right in front of me, and Carolina wasn't in the same class as us. Anthony and his friend sat next to each other at 2 desks away from me. Jessica turned to pass me some worksheets, but instead she saw me all sweaty and panting like a dog. She snickered. "What's up, Aves? Have you been working out?" I smiled sarcastically and went back to my worksheet. "Of course. You only beat me yesterday because you spent so much time working out and practicing," Jessica said. "For the record, I didn't prepare at all. If I did, my speed would blow you away." I didn't look up from my worksheet. "I didn't prepare either." Jessica leaned closer to me. Her breath smelled like cherries, or it was her thick lipstick. I couldn't tell. "I doubt that, Aves." The way she spoke was just so irritating, the snobbiest way you can imagine. I wanted to just lift her up and punch her right in the face, but I knew I shouldn't. I knew how much trouble I would get into if I did, with George and with the school. The chemistry teacher entered the room and sat down behind her desk. She told Jessica to turn on the screen behind the blackboard, and Jessica agreed delightfully. She was the typical teacher's pet. The teacher started talking about the project we would be working on for the following semester. "You will be working in groups," he explained. "I have already divided you into groups of 2 to 3 people. There will be no complaining." We all groaned. The groups teachers assign us to are usually disappointing. I listened carefully for my name. "And last but not least, Avery, Anthony, and Jessica. A hard scream almost escaped my mouth. Jessica's mouth dropped open. Anthony shook his head and pretended to faint. "Sir, I strongly disapprove," Jessica protested with a gulp, standing up from her seat. She said it like Anthony and I were garbage. "I cannot allow this to happen. I'd rather be with anybody aside from Avery." Correction, she said it like I was garbage. The teacher glared at Jessica. "I said there will be no complaining," he said firmly. "This is not your decision to make. You will be in the group I assigned you to." Jessica dropped back into her chair like she was dying. I myself felt like I was dying. I was certain Anthony felt the same way. But of course, speaking out against the teacher wouldn't do any good. The teacher explained that we would have to choose a topic and write a report about anything that had to do with chemistry, and it was due next month. He showed us examples of the report. All I could think about was how awful it would be for me to have to do work with Jessica for a whole month. The thought made me want to ditch school and never come back. It was finally recess, and I found Carolina at her locker. I told her about Jessica and being in the same group in the chemistry class. "I feel so sorry for you," Carolina said. "But look at the bright side. You can just give all the work to Anthony." I chuckled and we went to the next class together, PE with Mr. Old. It was a tiring day. Mr. Old made us do push-ups and sit-ups and jumping jacks, all the exercises that you could imagine. It was challenging even for me. By the end of the period, everybody was weary and worn out. Mr. Old reminded us to drink lots of water. I sat down at the bench in the gym, feeling almost as tired as when I finished my morning run from my house to the school. My legs were sore and I could barely move them. Carolina handed me my water bottle. My mouth was dry and my tongue was barely moist. I was parched, so I gulped down as much water as possible. Jessica and her minions were sitting behind us. I heard them giggling. What I didn't know was she was the one who poisoned my water, but I didn't notice until it was too late. "This might be the most tiring PE class I'd ever had," Carolina uttered, still trying to catch her breath. Mr. Old had never been so hard on us. I suddenly had the urge to tell Carolina about my powers and how it was from another planet. She wouldn't believe me if I told her, I thought. She would think I'm crazy. I didn't know how long I could keep this monumental secret from her, or Monica, though. Friends share everything, right? Class after class, I didn't feel any difference or uncomfort until the last period, mathematics. For some reason, I was terrible at math. George said it must have had something to do with how our alien brains work. But my grades were still some of the best in the class, since I was better at the other subjects than the rest of my class. I almost flunked my pop quiz, and Jessica had a good laugh about that. The teacher said he didn't understand why I was so horrible at math, but not the other subjects. "It's like you're a whole other person when it comes to mathematics," he said, shaking his head. His voice was deep and raspy. "Sometimes I wonder if you're just cheating with the other subjects. Is that what they teach you in the orphanage?" My face was flooded with rage. All they thought of me was an orphan. All they thought of me was a liar and a cheat. Why couldn't he see the good side of me for once? Why couldn't he see my exceptional work with sports and other subjects? After all, I wasn't a homeless orphan anymore. Even if I was, why did it matter anyway? The final bell rang and all the other students trudged out of the classroom and toward their homes. The teacher told me that I could only go home after I corrected my papers. Carolina said she promised her parents that she would be on time for dinner because their grandparents were visiting. Everyone left in a hurry, leaving me alone in the school. It took me ages to correct my test papers. No friends or classmates to help me. No teachers were still in their offices. I struggled through the hard questions, unable to solve the volumes of the X's and Y's. The numbers on the papers seemed to be so random, and I could find no connection between them. Sometimes I thought I would rather be average at every subject than to be superior at most of them, but awful at one. My brain turned into mush. My eyelids were heavy as it was hard to stay awake, not to mention thinking straight. Everything around me became blurry, and my head hit against the desk. So it went. I awakened and fell asleep over and over again. Jessica poisoned my water, and now I was going unconscious. I finally snapped awake, my head throbbing. Everything was dark, pitch black. I could see nothing at all. At first, I thought it was because my head hit against the desk too many times and something damaged my vision, but that was not the case. The whole school was closed down. The lights were out, and everyone was gone except for myself. I stumbled up from my chair, almost knocking it over. I ran my fingers across the wall, walking slowly and carefully. My foot got caught in something and I tripped. I fell face down on the ground, my nose aching, but I stood up and kept on going. When I finally managed to get out of the classroom, everything in the hallway was just as dark. I had no idea where I was going, clueless about which part of the school I was in. I almost tumbled off the stairs, but held on to the banister tightly and walked downstairs very slowly. From what I knew, my math classroom was on the third floor. That meant I had to go down three stories in order to get to the playground, where I assumed it would be bright enough to see. As I walked down the last flight of stairs, the pale moonlight appeared in the misty, soothing gleam. A soft breeze brushed over my face. The grass glistened in a silvery glow under the moonlight. The playground looked much larger without the crowd of children. I fumbled around in my pocket to find my phone so I could call George, but couldn't find it. Damn it, I cursed. Suspicion burned inside of me like bonfire. It was not an accident, nor was it a coincidence. Students don't just go to sleep in the middle of the class and don't wake up until everyone has left the school and the lights were all out. This was a prank, and whoever did this obviously hated me. That was how I deduced Jessica poisoned me. I jogged to the gate. The security guard had already gone home, so I couldn't ask for help. Someone faintly materialized in the distance. He was riding on a bike, and he was speeding along the sidewalk. He came underneath one of the streetlights and it shone on his face like a spotlight. I jumped up and down, waving my hands and calling for help, but he was too far away. He rode past me and disappeared into the darkness. I decided to jump over the wall and run home, but that might set off the alarm. The wall was exceptionally tall. Most normal people wouldn't be able to jump over it, but I knew I could easily do it. But again, if the teachers come back to school tomorrow and see the alarm has been set off, how would I explain it to them? Or should I just stay in the school building for the night? I could grab some food from the kitchen. That seemed like the best option. George specifically warned me to keep my true identity a secret, and if I did something human beings couldn't do, I would blow my cover. So I went back into the school building and to the second floor where the cafeteria and the kitchen were. There was a little pad on the door to the kitchen, and I had to guess the password. I thought it was silly how they thought someone would come into a school to steal food, or for whatever reason they installed a special lock. The lock had 4 digits, which meant it had 10,000 possibilities. In addition, I had to do everything in the dark, because the lights in the whole school were automatically turned off at 7. I found some bread and cartons of milk after using my extraordinary speed to guess the password and sat down in the corner of the kitchen to eat. After I finished, I was still starving, but if I took more food, the lunch lady would discover that someone had raided the pantry. The teacher's lounge was also on the second floor, and inside there were couches, so I decided to spend the night there. As I snuggled into the soft pillow and wished myself goodnight, I cursed Jessica under my breath. Being an alien wasn't easy, was it?